You to turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. Peter's first epistle, the fourth chapter. This morning's message from the book of Haggai challenged us to order our priorities in such a way as to glorify God. One such priority is using our gift or gifts to serve one another as good stewards of the grace of God. And that's the title of this evening's message, serving one another with the gift that God has given us, or rather using our gift to serve one another as good stewards of the grace of God. Our text is verses 10 and 11 of 1 Peter chapter 4, which reads as follows in the ESV. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The main point of this text is to urge us to use our God-given gift in serving one another. As each has received a gift, use it. That's the main point. That's the main focus of the text. As each has received a gift, use it in to serve one another. So the burden of this text is practical. Employ your gift. If you are a Christian, then God in His great grace has tied you to His Son. He has bound you to Jesus Christ, and He has given you His Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, He has given you an ability to serve. Many Christians have multiple abilities, but the text uses the singular. He has given you an ability to serve, and this text is focusing on the idea of take that gift and use it to serve your brothers and sisters. Do not sit on your gift. Do not bury your gift. Do not think that you have nothing to give. Do not think that you're not really needful because others are around who can contribute. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Again, that's the essential point of the passage that is before us. Now note that each member of the household of faith is to use his or her gift. Each and every member of the body of Christ is to use what God has given them. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Christ has given every member of his body an ability with which to serve. And as we apply that to ourselves here at Grace Reformed Baptist Church, we can be confident that every single member here, every man, every woman, every young person, every member of this congregation, having been placed by the Spirit and by Providence in this living organism together, each individual member has received a gift with which they are to serve. Obviously, some have more gift than others have. There are those who have five times as much as others, 10 times as much as others, twice as much as others. But each and every one, without exception, has received from God above a gift. 1 Corinthians 12:7 makes the identical point when it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Our congregation needs every single one of its members to serve. No member should be sitting on the sidelines long term. No member should be sitting in the stands, spectators, watching others. Every member has a place, a functioning place on the team. One of the most basic duties of being a member of the kingdom of Christ, and one of the most basic responsibilities of being a member of a particular congregation, is seeking to work out the question, how can I help? How can I serve? The Lord has given me an ability with which to serve, perhaps several abilities. How can I best take what God has given me, and how can I serve the body in which, in providence, He has placed me? It's one of the basic questions of life in the kingdom. Now, note also that the serving in view focuses on the brothers and sisters of our local church. The serving that Peter has in view in this passage has in view the brothers and sisters of one's local body. Now, the Bible speaks to responsibilities that we have at home with respect to family. The Bible speaks of responsibilities that we have in relation to the lost. I referred earlier, as we were praying together, to our calling to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. But most of the New Testament's relational directives speak to our relationship to one another within the local church. If you were just to look at all of the directives that are given in the New Testament concerning how we are to relate one to another, most of those directives have to do with our relationship to one another within the body of Christ. And that's the case here in 1 Peter 4. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. And in the immediate context, Peter, just a couple of verses back, has said, love one another. Above all, stretch out in your love for one another. Be fervent in your love for one another. He's talking about body life. He's talking about what goes on within the bride of Christ as she comes to concrete local expression in a particular place like Grace Reformed Baptist here in Mebane. And we're to love one another, and we're to practice hospitality to one another without grumbling, according to verse 8. And then verse 9, we are to serve one another. It's the local church that is in view. When Jesus Christ, in His great grace, reaches out and draws a sinner to Himself, bringing them to repent and to believe, He attaches them to Himself, the head, and simultaneously, by His Spirit, He attaches a person who has repented and believed to His body. Christ is not a bodiless head. Christ is head and body, organic whole. When He draws people to Himself, He attaches them to His body and gives them the privilege of working with Him in serving and nurturing that body. It becomes a great priority of our lives, as is reflected in Galatians 6 and verse 10, where the Apostle Paul wrote, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially to who? To those who are of the household of faith." We're to love all of our neighbors, but especially we're to love those neighbors that God has placed us together with in the household of faith. That's a biblical priority, Galatians 6 and verse 10. Note also in the passage before us here in 1 Peter 4, that our having received a gift makes each of us a steward of that gift. Our having been the recipients of a gift that has come to us from our God and our Savior makes each of us a steward of that ability to serve others within the household of faith. As each has received a gift, so employ it as good stewards, or as a good steward. That's the call of our passage. A steward is one who manages or looks after the property of another. Many, perhaps all of us, are familiar with the story of Joseph, one of the precious, beloved stories of the Bible. And you'll recall that Joseph, when he was sold by his brothers into slavery, he ended up in the household of a man named Potiphar down in Egypt. And it became evident to Potiphar that Joseph had supernatural blessing upon him. Everything he touched prospered, and Potiphar put him in charge of all the house. Now, Joseph did not own a thing there, not even the clothing that he wore. He was a slave. Nothing belonged to him. Everything belonged to Potiphar. But he was placed in charge of Potiphar's household and expected to labor for the best interest of Potiphar. Now, Joseph was given a stewardship. The same thing would happen when he was falsely accused and then unjustly placed in the dungeon. The chief jailer recognized, again, there's something supernatural about this guy. And he put Joseph in charge of all the workings going on there in that dungeon. And once again, Joseph was a steward. Nothing belonged to him inherently. But he was taking the property of others and taking the responsibilities of others and employing himself in such a way as to promote the best interest of the one that he was under. This idea of stewardship, of course, underlies the parable of the talents. I'm not going to take time to read that. It's found in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. It's one of the better known stories of our Lord. A man is who owns much property is going on a long journey. And before he leaves, he calls three servants to him, and he gives one of them a certain sum of money. He gives another one twice as much money. He gives a third five times as much money. And he calls them to do business with that money, to invest it, to do business with it, to make it to multiply, telling them that he will come back one day and they'll have to give an account for what they did with what belonged to him. And after a long time away, the master does come back and he does call the three servants to give an account for what did you do with my property? What did you do with what I entrusted you with? I gave you a charge to take what I gave you and to cause it to grow, to cause it to multiply. And tell me what's happened. And of course, in all that, Jesus is picturing himself. He is the master who has gone away for a long time, but he's coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to call us his servants to give an account for what we've done with what he entrusted to us. We're not our own. We are the stewards of Christ. He owns us, and he has entrusted us with a gift or gifts. He's entrusted us with opportunities. He's entrusted us with life, with some measure of health, with some measure of time. And these things all belong to him. And we're to seek to be faithful in our stewardship of what he has entrusted to us. Note also in this passage in 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, that we're to be good stewards of God's varied grace. God's varied grace. Some translations read that manifold grace or multifaceted grace. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. In what way did we receive the gift or gifts that we have been given if we're Christians? And this is true, in a sense, as for everyone, whether you're a Christian or not. We've received it as an expression of God's undeserved favor. The gift or gifts that we've been given is an expression of God's kindness that he has poured out on undeserving sinners like ourselves. God has shown us his love, not only in having forgiven us in Christ, if we are believers, he has also shown his love in giving us a gift with which we can be involved in the business of his kingdom. That is a privilege. That is an honor to wear the colors of Jesus Christ and to march under his banner and to fight his battles and to be engaged in His work and to be channels of His unmerited kindness and favor and mercy as that mercy and grace from heaven flows into the lives of His people, so often it flows through our hands and through our feet and through our words and through our engaging in deeds of service, the vast majority of which are done behind the scenes in ways where the right hand's not even aware of what the left hand is doing. Deeds of kindness, deeds of service, most of which are done privately, not from a platform where everyone is conscious of what a given individual is doing. We find that having some ability to give, no matter how mediocre relatively that ability may seem, we find that it's true, as our Lord said, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And the very act of serving becomes yet another channel of grace to us, because we receive the grace of God in being conduits of that grace to others. And as a whole body of people, various members with diverse abilities, serve their Lord and serve one another by employing what God has given them to serve each other, it becomes a marvelous picture of the multicolored grace of God. And it sparkles in different ways. You receive from one that grace through an ability that he has to speak with decisiveness into a situation. And you receive from another the grace of God and their ability to express such sympathy and such comfort. And you receive from another that grace that comes in being able to fix something that has just utterly befuddled you. And you're not sure how it works or how to make it right. And a brother or sister has come and has employed a gift just in helping to make something work. In all manner of different ways, the people of God are designed to serve one another. And in that serving, they're stewarding the undeserved kindness of God. It's on display as it is being experienced, as it is being directed towards others through the channels of our own service. The Greek word in our text, rendered gift, comes from the word for grace. And that is a powerful reminder to us that having a gift with which to serve is an expression indeed of the grace of God. Note also in the passage before us that Peter speaks of two categories of gifts. And I told my Sunday school class recently, and speaking on this subject at more length, that I think it's helpful that in this, one of the key passages in the New Testament on gifts, it only speaks of two. And it's speaking of categories, the category of a speaking gift, the category of a serving gift. The passage begins by calling all of us to serve one another, choosing serve there more broadly, serve by speaking, serve by serving. And in that second use of serving, it's using it in a little more narrow way in contrast to those who are gifted in speaking. Verse 11, as each has received a gift, so employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the very grace of God. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Speaking encompasses gifts such as preaching, teaching, but also exhorting, comforting, speaking words of wisdom. Some use these gifts publicly. Many use these gifts privately, around their table at home, over a cup of coffee, after a service, as they're talking here in the sanctuary or out in the foyer or outside. These are gifts that are used not only by men in the church, but also by women. There are many women who have a God-given gift to be able to speak in a way that serves the people of God. Priscilla was a great help to Apollos. Youth may even have a gift for speaking. And that may not be the norm in terms of being aware of that in a given church situation, but I've been reading recently through 1 and 2 Samuel and was struck afresh by how Samuel, even as a child, spoke the word of God so powerfully and so effectively. It's possible for even youth to manifest a gift for speaking. Serving encompasses gifts such as contributing money, to think of the Romans 12 parallel passage, leading, doing deeds of mercy, showing hospitality. I've mentioned fixing things that are broken, a host of other actions that do something for another member or the entire body. There are some who want to make a distinction between gift and talent, not denying that God uses talents in the service of others, but wanting to draw attention to the fact that when the New Testament speaks of gifts, it has more specific lists in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, and Ephesians 4, and in Romans 12. Others don't think that that's a legitimate distinction to make, or at least to emphasize, but would say that any ability that one has to be able to be helpful to others within the body of Christ, when the Spirit of God renews somebody and works in their heart, whereby their lives become aimed at the glory of God and at loving the brethren for Christ's sake, that any ability that is used in service to others is encompassed in what Peter is talking about here when he talks about a gift for serving. Some are more apt to be doing. Some are more apt to be speaking. Some are unusually gifted in both areas. But Peter speaks to us in terms of these two categories. Here at Grace Reformed Baptist Church, we need members who are gifted with their tongue. They have an ability to articulate truth. They have an ability to explain truth. They have an ability to apply truth wisely. We can take things that are wonderfully true, and we can misapply them in a way that can be deeply harmful. We need people who can speak wisely and can use words to bring encouragement, and words to bring illumination, and words to bring a sustaining power to those who may be on the edge of falling off from the journey. We need people who are able to talk in a way that helps one another. We also need people who are gifted with their hands, so to speak. If I can use that as a metaphor, they're doers. It's not so much what they say. Obviously, every Christian is expected to speak in ways that are edifying. Every Christian is expected to be doing certain things. But to stay with this contrast that Peter gives us, some are going to be more apt to serve, not by what they say so much, but things that they do. And again, oftentimes that's going to be behind the scenes. Note also from this passage that whoever speaks, according to Peter, is to do so as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Those who do have a gift for speaking to others are not always going to be simply quoting the Bible. There are going to be times where they'll be giving their judgment on a matter. They'll be giving their opinion. They'll be seeking to understand a situation as best they can and speak to it. But Peter urges the stewardship of those who have speaking gifts within the church to speak, whether it's publicly or privately, to speak with the concern to bring the thought of God, the word of God, to bear upon the situation as best one can. What we ultimately have to offer one another is not human wisdom, but God's wisdom. Now, I say that in a qualified way. There are all kinds of situations where human wisdom comes in real handy And there are ways in which we really help one another through giving just human wisdom. But this passage is drawing attention to the fact that as Christians, we have a word from heaven that has been given to us. The church is the custodian of that word, and we are to employ that word, seeking as best we can to not just give what I think, but to bring to bear upon a situation what God thinks. And so part of the stewardship of having a gift for speaking is to seek to be thinking and praying, Lord, what have you said in your word that has application to this situation? Is there a text? And I tell you, what it means is that there's a lot of time on your feet. You're in a situation. You're talking after a service. You're speaking over coffee. You're talking while the kids are playing at the park. And all of a sudden, something comes out. Something comes to your awareness. Someone is confiding in you about something, and you realize this is something that has some weight to it. This is something that is significant. And many times, in working out the stewardship of a speaking gift within the Church of Christ, we want to be those who are just talking ejaculatory prayer. God, help me. Is there a text? Is there a principle? Is there a story? Is there something from my quiet time this morning? What can I bring to bear upon this situation that would reflect not just, well, that's what Stu thinks, but it's something that God has said. The oracles of God is the idea of the utterances of God. And we most help one another in the battle of faith and the battle to persevere and endure and overcome to the end. We most help one another as we bring the resources of God's word to bear in our efforts to help one another. At times, that's going to be a word of reproof. At times, that's going to be a word of comfort. At times, the word of God will be bearing upon you, keep your mouth shut. Just listen. You got a gift for speaking. And those of us who have some ability to speak oftentimes are too ready to speak. And we've already got our answer when they're about a third of the way through their explanation. And so part of the pressure of the utterances of God is, Stu, shut up. Just hold. Be quiet. Listen. Ask questions. But it's part of seeking to be a steward of the Word of God. But just as those who have a gift for speaking should do so consciously, I need help from God. I need God's Word. And how does it come? Here's someone who's just confided in me about a sin struggle. What does God have to say? Do they need to be? I was going to say something that could be misunderstood. Do they need to be challenged, or do they need a word of encouragement? We're seeking from God help. In the same way, Peter says, those who serve, you need to be conscious of seeking that strength that comes from God, so that we can serve by heaven's strength. And especially if we think of serving along the lines of something that we have an aptitude for, we have a talent for, we've got life experience in, we can go over and we can help brother so-and-so with something that they're not able to address themselves. You might think that, well, that's something you can just do. You know, you've done it maybe for decades. You can handle this. But this text calls those who serve. You too need to be conscious of needing help from above. And the fact of the matter is that especially when you've been serving for a while and when you've been serving in the trenches, we can become weary. We can become worn. We can become frustrated. We can even become angry in situations of serving one another. And we need the strength that heaven supplies, so that we can honor our God and be a blessing to others as our God intends. Note last that the stated goal of our stewardship in the use of our gift is the glory of God. Peter says, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's not about our being recognized. It's not about our being admired. It's not about whether we're gaining the position that we desire. There's no place for self-pity or jealousy. As we freely give of ourselves to our brothers and sisters, it honors our God. And that's the goal, is to draw attention to the greatness and the goodness of our God. We were singing just a moment ago of how worthy is Jesus. And God looks down not only upon what we're doing, but upon why we're doing it. And what he desires from his children is that we would serve him, with the dominating why or motivation being that we might please him and that we might honor him. Now, in closing, let me say just several things more briefly. Let me first say that many of you are serving God faithfully. There are many here who have served God for years, even decades in this place. Your life has been defined by your serving the Church of Jesus Christ here at Grace Reformed Baptist or perhaps somewhere else if you're newer among us. And I just want to encourage you to believe that your Heavenly Father will not forget your deeds of service. So much serving does take place behind the scenes where others aren't aware of a card that's been written or a floral arrangement that's been made. You know, praise God for people who have a gift for beauty. And rather than meeting in just stark, black and white, as cheap as you can get circumstances, there are people who have an ability to think through, well, at this season of the year, this would look nice. And there are people who come up, and I'm not sure who does the flowers, but thank you, whoever does it. It's a blessing that there are people. I go into the guy's bathroom, and I see things that impress me in terms of somebody's given some thought to it looking nice, it looking homey, it looking welcoming. That's a gift that somebody has used for the glory of God and may never have heard a thank you for it. But I want to affirm that so many of you manifest the grace of God so well in your serving, and your Heavenly Father and your Lord Jesus will not forget. Some of you cannot serve as you would like. This is the Sunday evening crowd, not the Sunday morning crowd. People I'd really like to be speaking this message to are the people who perhaps are not here this evening. But you're the Sunday evening crowd. You're the committed. And some of you, you've been hurting perhaps while I've been drawing attention to this passage and we've drilled into these two verses a little bit because it pains you that you don't do more. It pains you that you're not able to serve perhaps as you once served. Health issues, aging, distance, or other providential factors prevent you from doing all that you would like to do. And I want to remind you that our Lord is not a harsh taskmaster. Jesus is as far removed as is imaginable, and beyond that, from those Egyptian taskmasters who cracked a whip, and their one message was more, more, more. Some of you here may need to be doing less. Some of you here may need to reevaluate before God and with the help of those who love you and know you best. You may need to reevaluate and may rightly come to the conclusion, I need to step back from something so that I can better fulfill my more basic stewardship. Because everything we say yes to cost us the other things that we might have done if we hadn't said yes to that. God understands your providential situation. He knows your frame. At the end of the day, you know, Jesus himself, his public ministry lasted 3, maybe 3.5 years. Have you ever thought about that? You know, talk about the one who could do the most good. 3 and out. But he said at the end, I have glorified you, Father, on the earth, having finished the work that you gave me to do. And y'all, ultimately, that is all that matters. It's not how much. It's doing what God has given us to do. And sometimes that means I've got 2 mites to give. And what are 2 mites going to do? And Jesus may well be saying, 2 mites will do everything. There may be some here, though you are at the evening service, who are falling short in service because your priorities have been misplaced. And you're not giving time and energy to serving your brothers and sisters in this church in the way that you should. And I call you to take 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 to heart. And if you need to repent, repent. It's a stewardship that our Lord has entrusted to you. And be about being faithful in that stewardship. Be mindful, as we do close, that the great message of the Bible is not ultimately what we do. It's what Christ has done. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Mark 10:45, Jesus says, the Son of Man came not to be served. This whole passage is we're supposed to be serving. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. One of the amazing things about God in Christ is that he's always more concerned about what he can do for us than what we are doing for him. It doesn't mean he has no expectations of us. It's just a testimony to how great his love is. We have freely received, every Christian here. We have drunk deeply, and it's been all free. Let us freely give. Let us dedicate our lives to, we're going to give as best we can. As each has received a gift, use it as a good steward of the varied grace of God. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we bless you for the promises of your word, and we bless you for the commands of your word. And we confess that your law is holy and righteous and good. And we thank you for the grace of law. And we pray, dear Father, that you would help us to embrace this passage that we have considered tonight. We thank you for the grace that you've given to embrace it. Now, we thank you for the honor of serving a master like you. And we pray, dear Father, that you would forgive us for our failures and that you would empower us through your Spirit and through your truth to better fulfill the stewardship that we have. And where indeed people have come to a place in life where they are extremely limited in what they can do by way of service, give those brothers and those sisters grace to accept with contentment their providential situation. And may they not lose heart amidst the diminishing and the deterioration that is all around us in this cursed world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.